Part 2. Turkey. The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new lands, but in seeing with new eyes. Marcel Proust. T-minus 81. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Clark walked back into the living room with Piper when he heard the video stop playing, at which point she immediately perked up again and reached out for Dan. "Well, hello," Dan said, noticing the pink mittens as Clark handed her over. Dan then glanced at Clark, seeing the cut on his eye and knowing exactly where it had come from. "Thanks," he whispered, awed as ever by his big brother's fearless and automatic instinct to protect. Tara threw her arms around Clark as soon as his were empty. "You could have turned your damn back to the glass, dummy," she scolded with love. He hugged her tightly. "And Dan," he spoke over her shoulder. "Don't worry about the agents. Me and Phil have been running some surveillance on them, and they didn't react at all when this all happened, so they're definitely not watching or listening inside the house. Slater did promise that, and now we know it was true." Emma inched towards Dan and Piper, feeling somewhat soothed that their family was back together, but utterly helpless in the face of a problem that barely even made sense. Like Dan, she didn't even react to Clark's revelation of his watcher watching surveillance, given how pressing their immediate situation was.
"She's just a baby," Tara said, sitting down with Clark a few moments later. "It's not like she can do any harm."
"Babies get bigger," Emma replied, worry dripping from the words.
"They grow up. They start walking. They start talking. We can't keep her locked away in a tower, Tara. What about when she does learn to talk and starts telling people she can hear their thoughts?"
Tara tossed her hands up, the worry bringing frustration.
"I don't know. Maybe if we, like, coat her fingers in something that breaks the connection. We'll ask Leisha next time we see him. We'll figure this out."
"We have to figure it out now, because if anyone else does, they'll take her away," Emma said,
the gravity of these words amplified by the instinctive lowering of her volume.
"Who will?"
Tara asked.
"Whoever finds out. They would say she's a monster. They would say
no one is finding out," Dan butted in.
"And you're not a monster," he said to Piper. "You're just a very special little girl."
"Maybe we could teach her to control the powers,"
Tara mused, now facing Clark, but primarily thinking out loud.
"You know, like train her to keep them in check. That has to be better than bottling it all up until one day everything explodes. Just until we can get the messengers to take the powers away, you know?"
Emma sighed in exasperation.
"Tara, she's 7 months old. Until we can teach her how to hold a pencil, we can't teach her to control mental powers we don't even understand. And the messengers? Their uplift thing didn't grant her this power, so I don't even know that we can count on them to be able to take it away."
"Speaking of that," Dan said, "we know none of them are born with the uplift powers, and we didn't, you know, while I had the powers, so even if it worked differently when human genetics are in play, how does she have them?" Silence circled for a few seconds.
"And you're sure you didn't, you know?"
Tara prodded.
Dan shrugged. "I got the powers on the Saturday night when the messengers visited, right? And I asked them to take them away on the Friday after that, when they brought you and me back from New Kerguelen."
He turned back to Emma. "We didn't have a single night at home. We left here for Argentina on Sunday, left there for Cuba on Monday, then went on to Honduras sometime on Tuesday night. We got home early on Thursday morning, and the messengers showed up that very night. It's impossible. And we'd hardly forget if it had been, you know, in Timo's jet or something."
Emma's eyes widened in sudden realization.
"That's it. Not the part about the jet, but the part about forgetting. You had no memory of that whole day in Buenos Aires. Remember when you woke up on the plane in Cuba and thought we just arrived in Argentina? Something about getting used to the powers made your mind lose that whole day. You don't remember being at the GCC or getting those damn government surveillance chips taken out of our necks. So I guess you also don't remember the hotel room they put us in for 5 or 6 hours of rest and recovery before the flight."
"Oh," Dan said.
"Yeah,"
Emma replied.
"So I guess you did pass it on genetically, because you were uplifted at the time." So that should mean the device can undo it? Terra asked. If these are just the regular uplift powers?
No one had a definitive answer, but there was hope in the silence. I still don't know if we can count on that, Dan said, reluctantly breaking it. Her brain developed with whatever changes these powers cause hardwired in. With us, they granted the powers to brains that were fully developed. We had the powers, but they weren't really ours. We don't know if this is the same. And the uplift hurts. Remember? The neck pain is no joke for an adult, and I don't even think her fingers are big enough for the other part. Where hope had been present moments earlier, suddenly there was nothing but anxiousness. But, Dan said, keen to make things seem less stark to Emma in particular, we also might be about to make an enormous breakthrough on New Kerguelen that could bring all kinds of answers. Me and Terra were excited to get home and tell you this, because we could find out all kinds of things about the messengers, and some of them could help us here, soon enough for it to be useful. Spit it out, then, Clark prodded, speaking up for the first time in a while. Dan took a deep breath. Well, he gulped. The shelter only covers 3% of New Kerguelen. The atmosphere seems to be the same on both sides, and Godfrey wants us to find out what's out there. Emma, I honestly don't know what the answer to this is going to be, but at least I know somewhere we might find it.